Yes, yes, yes. It is a beautiful Wednesday, and we have some beautiful scriptures to discuss with you today. I rolled out of bed this morning, and the birds were chirping. The sun is shining, and the scriptures I had to read this morning were enlightening. I'm going to read you from Romans 8, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Nothing consequently." Let me read that again, just in case I didn't get that. "Nothing consequently, nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to notice that it does not say nothing consequently is now condemnation to those who keep the law. It doesn't say nothing consequently is now condemnation to those who don't look at dirty pictures. It doesn't say nothing consequently is now condemnation to those who don't tithe or tithe enough. I want you to look at this. Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I've been hammering it home to you lately that this Romans 6, 7, and 8 is going to be absolutely missed. It's going to be misunderstood if you don't see the positional element, that God is talking about our position in Christ. Nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you get into Christ Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Yet you, it's got a little hash mark in the Concordant version, it's emphatic. Yet you, of him, are in Christ Jesus. And the "of him" is in reference to God, if you look at the context. It's of God that we are in Christ Jesus. Not a preacher, not by sacraments or church or anything like that. It's of God that we are in Christ Jesus. Of God. Are you in Christ Jesus? It's because God puts you there. And he does it in time through the preaching of the evangel. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, was entombed, and roused again the third day according to the scriptures, you're in Christ Jesus. And the consequence of that is that there is no condemnation. Nothing consequently is now condemnation. Think of something. You know, I get emails from people who are struggling with this, that, and the other. Whatever it is you struggle with, nothing consequently is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Nothing. You say, "But Dan, I do..." Forget it. Nothing. "But Dan, I always do this." Nothing. Nothing consequently is condemnation, is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Verse 9 of Romans 8 says this, "Yet you are not in flesh, but in spirit, if so be that God's spirit is making its home in you." Now notice it doesn't say that you're in spirit if you behave. No. You're in spirit, if so be God's spirit, it's making its home in you. Positional truth, friends. Now turn to the end of Romans chapter 8 here, and Paul says this. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. "What then shall we declare to these things? If God is for us..." You know, people really have a hard time with this. They cannot possibly see, because they're always looking at their sins, that God could possibly be for them. God is for us. If God is for us, who is against us? "Surely he who spares not his own son, but gives him up for us all, how shall he not, together with him, also be graciously granting us all?" Think about this. If God gave you the best, isn't he going to grant you everything else? God didn't spare his own son. Actually, some people have the idea that God gave his own son for us, and yet you and I, by something piddly, can screw it up. Nothing is as great as God's Son. Nothing is as glorious and beautiful and wonderful as God's Son, and yet he gave him up for us all. And yet we think that he's going to withhold from us now? In the point here in verse 32 was, if God gave you the wedding ring, is he going to withhold the little plastic box it came in? God gave us a son, and because he gave us a son, he's going to graciously grant us everything else. Everything else. Who will be indicting God's chosen ones? God the justifier? Is God going to God who justified you, is he going to indict you? Who's going to condemn? Who's the condemner? Christ Jesus, the one dying, yet rather being roused, who is also at God's right hand, who is pleading also for our sakes. Now think about this. If God is not going to condemn you or indict you, if Christ Jesus is not going to condemn you, as a matter of fact, he's not only not going to condemn you, but he died for you, and he was aroused for you, and he's at God's right hand pleading also for our sakes. Both God and Christ are for us. They love us. Now, are you going to condemn yourself? You know, it's interesting when you really think about this. If you're condemning yourselves, you think you're greater than God. You think you're smarter than God or more holy than God. If God and Christ are not indicting or condemning you, who do you think you are to condemn yourself? Think of the audacity, really, more than anything it is, to slap God in the face and say, God, you're wrong. I'm worthless. You should condemn me. But yet some people are content to live like that. They want to live under the cloud of condemnation. Don't insult God. God says, I'm not going to indict you. I justified you. Christ Jesus said, I can't condemn you. I'm pleading for you. I died for you. I took care of it. Verse 35, what shall be separating us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? All right, here we go. Can anything separate us? Well, let's see. How about affliction? You going through any trials right now, any afflictions or distresses? I mean, you have problems paying the bills, without a job, any pain in your life, any bodily ailments? Can these separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, where it was demonstrated? You want to know how much God loves you? Look at all that Christ Jesus did for you, right? And he's saying, can affliction or distress separate you from that? How about persecution? Do people go after you because of what you believe? Do your churches despise your freedom? Your old church friends, do they despise what you believe because you're so free and joyous in Christ? How about famine? You ever gotten to a point in your life where you're hungry? There are famines throughout the scriptures. Abraham had a famine. That didn't separate him from God's love. He was fed eventually. How about nakedness? You ever have be getting put in a situation where you're so poor you can't even afford from the secondhand store? How about danger? How about sword, persecutions? You know, things like that. According as it is written, that on thy account we are being put to death the whole day. We are reckoned as sheep for slaughter. And it says in verse 37, nay, in all these things. Now notice it doesn't say out of them. In all these things we are more than conquering through him who loves us. We are conquering while we go through affliction, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword. Why are we conquering through that? Because in these situations, you and I belong to Christ. We're dead to sin. We're alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're heading for the glory that's to come in the oncoming eons. That's why we conquer. And he says, in all these things. Now, verse 38, you know, so often we look at trials and we think it's a sign of God's displeasure. Absolutely not. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor messengers, nor sovereignties, nor the present, nor what is impending. You got problems today? Can that separate you? How about tomorrow? You got worries about tomorrow? Is that going to separate you? How about powers? How about height or depth, nor any other creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? This is the conquering Paul was referring to. Nothing can conquer us. We conquer. Now, one of the things listed in verse 38 and 39 can separate us, and this includes today's and tomorrow's sins, my friends. What a glorious truth here in Romans 8. Remember, positional, and I'm going to give you a hint. One of the things we read here in Romans 7 and 8 is about living in the flesh in Romans 7, when we were in the flesh. And in the flesh is not the condition of an unsaved man. In the flesh is a man who lives under law trying to please God without realizing his freedom in Christ. So many people are in the flesh today. They are so occupied with their sins that they don't see the freedom that God has already purchased. And so they struggle and sweat and they live the Romans 7 experience. The Romans 7 experience should not be for us, because you and I are not trying to please God under law. We already realize our position and we live in the freedom and joy of that. We say nothing, consequently, is now condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. In us, we're nothing, but in Christ Jesus, no condemnation. This is great news. Read Romans 6, 7, and 8 and ask God to open your heart and your understandings. Read it in the Concordant Version, most importantly, and see this great freedom that we have in Christ. I hope this has been a help. I gotta run, and we will see you again tomorrow.